Good morning. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. And we'll read the whole thing. Ezekiel 3. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat what you find. Eat the scroll and go, speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth and he fed me the scroll. He said to me, "Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving to you." Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. For you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel, nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house." Moreover, he said to me, "Son of man, take into your heart all my words which I will speak to you, and listen closely. Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, whether they listen or not. Thus says the Lord God." Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in his place. And I heard the sound of the wings of the living beings touching one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, even a great rumbling sound. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Kabar at Tel Aviv, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You will surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. The hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, 'Get up, go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you.' So I got up and went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Kabar, and I fell on my face. The Spirit then entered me, and made me stand on my feet, and he spoke with me, and said to me, 'Go, shut yourself up in your house. As for you, son of man, they will put ropes on you and bind you with them, so that you cannot go out among them. Moreover, I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth, so that you will be mute and cannot be a man who rebukes them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you will say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house.'" Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come before you this morning, and we're grateful that we have this time to go into your word and have a time of worship and time of prayer, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you come and speak to each and every single one of us today, and that you just fill our hearts, God, with joy and hope in you, Lord, and the peace of your presence. We thank you. We love you. In your son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, Ezekiel, just a bit of background about this book. So, where to start? So, Israel, or Israel and Judah, after the splitting of the kingdom, they start rebelling against God and his covenant with his people. And what ends up happening is they get exiled. And so there's actually a few exiles from the land of Judah. one from the Assyrians and then two from the Babylonians, where they take the people of Israel and Judah and exile them out of the land. So Ezekiel is actually part of the second wave of exiles. And so he's already been exiled and he's in Babylon when he receives this vision. And this vision actually begins in chapter 1 of Ezekiel. I just kind of went into chapter 3, but you know, I wish we could go through the whole thing, but it's actually really long. So let's just start into chapter 3. So he receives his vision from God, and he is told to speak a message to the exiles, so the people that already have been taken from the land of Judah. And the message that he gets is actually pretty hard to stomach. Chapter 2 actually also goes along this theme, but the theme that is in chapter 3 is this idea of faithfulness versus success. Now, what I mean by that is, if, you know, very plainly reading through the text, Ezekiel is given a task to speak to the exiles, but this task, it doesn't seem like he will succeed at this task, or there will be no fruit from his ministry. There will be no fruit in his task given to him by God. God says, you know, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. But in verse 5 to 7, basically says, you know, even though you're being sent to a people that understands your language, that understands your words, and should have understanding or understand the content that you are saying to them, they will not listen to what you are saying to them. See, this isn't a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but you know, verse 5 says, Ezekiel is being sent to the house of Israel. So they understand exactly what Ezekiel is saying. The people of Israel that were exiled also understood that, because there were prophets way before Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos was one of them. Habakkuk, Jonah. So all these prophets that came before Ezekiel kept preaching the word of the Lord and saying, now this is how you have disobeyed. This is how you have violated the covenant. Repent and turn back. So the people that are in exile already have heard this message and they understand and they know. But yet, even as Ezekiel goes, they are still unwilling to listen. In verse 7, it highlights this whole point. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. They understand what God has said and they've heard it, yet they are unwilling to listen. So this is a task that's being given to Ezekiel. And when Ezekiel hears this, there's not too much, you don't actually get too much reaction of what, or you don't get too much reaction from Ezekiel. It's just a lot of description of what God is saying to him. But there's a little bit where you can actually see how Ezekiel reacts in verse 14 and 15. He actually receives a few visions here. So in between the few visions that he gets, it says, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Kabar at Tel Aviv, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. Other translations take those two verses and basically, let me paraphrase it, but says that I was enraged at what I saw. And I was very in 15, instead of saying causing consternation, let me actually just pull up the... There you go. The NIV in verse 15 says, I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv near the Kabar River, and there, where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, deeply distressed. So there was turmoil inside of his soul. Now, one way to take this is he was very dismayed at what he saw and he didn't want to preach that message. Or another way is that what he saw and what he heard, the vision from God, was very disturbing. And you know, he's very disturbed at the sins of Israel. Sorry, I'm just looking up. Yeah, in the message, it says, I came to where they were living and sat there for 7 days appalled. So he, from the task that's given to him, it doesn't seem like he really wants to go out and do this. And I mean, that would be natural because he was just told by God, I'm going to get you to do this thing. I want you to go and speak to the house of Israel. Yet, let me tell you now, you will see no fruit from your ministry. You will not succeed. There's absolutely no way, and I'm telling you now. And this theme is actually repeated in chapter 2 as well. Chapter 2, verse 5. As for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet is among them. Verse 7. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious. Verse 8, now you son of man, listen to what I'm speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. So Ezekiel's being told over and over again that you are to do this task, whether they listen or not. But it's not that, you know, they might listen or they might not. Is whether they listen or not, but they are a rebellious house. Most likely they are not going to listen. So he's been giving this task of speaking the words of God in the face of basically failure, or how the world would categorize failure. But the point of this chapter isn't to highlight, you know, if there's fruit from your ministry or there's results from what God has appointed you to do. You know, for us, you know, today, if we're in a workplace and God calls us to evangelize to one of our coworkers or friends or family, you know, a lot of times we get stuck in our minds like, oh, we have to see fruit. You know, I want to invite my friend to Alpha. And they agreed to come to Alpha. We're like, yes, you know, they're coming to Alpha. And, you know, like, oh, this is great. And God's going to work in their lives. And their heart's going to be changed. And, you know, they're going to be really touched. And, you know, like, but, you know, it's okay if they don't become Christian. But at least that seed is planted. And they come to one meeting and they come to another meeting. And, you know, this by no means is to discourage anyone from bringing anyone to Alpha, but they'll come to two meetings and they're like, yeah, it's okay. And then after a third meeting, they're like, you know what, this really isn't for me. And we get discouraged because like, oh, you know, I thought it was such a good program, right? But, and we get that stuck in our minds that we have to kind of bring people through to and see them through to salvation. But if Ezekiel 3 gives you an encouragement, is that, you know, it's not our responsibility to bring people to Christ, right? That's God's job. Our responsibility is just to carry out the task he has given us. And this is shown later in the later half of Ezekiel 3, where God says that in verse 17, son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. And that is the task that Ezekiel is to do. He's just to proclaim the word. He's just to give the word that God has given to them and to warn the people of Israel, or in this case, the exiles. See, a watchman, you know, typically, back, I mean, we don't really have watchmen now in Hong Kong, but a watchman would just sit in a tower or on the wall and just watch to see if any armies or anything, if anything would approach the city. And his job was to just tell the people in the city that, you know, this army is coming, or there's certain kings that are coming, so prepare the city, or, you know, so on and so forth. His job wasn't to, oh, crap, there's an army coming. I better go down and prepare myself and go out and fight the army. His job was just to warn the people. That was his purpose. There's other people whose jobs were to fight. There's other people whose jobs were to prepare the city, like make a feast or, you know, whatever it would be. But the watchman's job was just to watch and to warn, to relay the news. So for Ezekiel, it wasn't for him to tell the exiles of the word of God and to ensure that they repented, right? It was just to let them know. And it says here from verse 17 to 21 that if he is told to warn a wicked man to turn from his wicked ways, it doesn't matter whether or not he turns from his wicked ways. But if he doesn't, if Ezekiel doesn't warn the wicked man of his wicked ways, and the wicked man continues to sin, then the blood of the wicked man is on Ezekiel. Meaning the responsibility for that wicked man, or if Ezekiel doesn't relay to him the word of God, then really the wickedness of that man falls on Ezekiel. Similarly, or on the flip side, you know, if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and Ezekiel does not tell him of his sin, then again, that's the blood of the righteous man is on Ezekiel. So it's not to say, you know, we have to turn people, or Ezekiel had to turn the exiles to repentance. He just had to warn them. He just had to tell them the word of God. Yeah, so a lot of times I feel like we put this pressure on ourselves to see fruit in our ministry or see fruit coming from our lives. You know, whether that's at work or even not even bringing someone to Christ, even ministering to our friends that are already Christian, you know, even trying to see people that might be struggling with certain issues in their life, whether it be, you know, self-image, or like they struggle with condemnation, or they struggle with certain sins, and you're praying hard for them, and you want them to break free, or to realize that there is no condemnation, and that every time that they hear, you know, you're doing this again, you know, you're sinning again. Every time they hear that voice, you want them to know, like, that's really not from God. That's the enemy's voice. That's the enemy that's condemning you, and you don't have to listen to that. And you know, I'm sure there's times where you're telling this to your friends, but they don't seem to get it, and you're just like, oh, why, God, why can't they get it? Because for you, it seems like such a simple thing, like, well, that's condemnation from the enemy, and you just really want them to get it, right? And you want them to, like, get into a place where they no longer have to be under that bondage, under that yoke. And, you know, if we can take anything from Ezekiel 3, is that, you know, it's good that we struggle with, or it's good that we have that burden to want to see our friends walk in freedom and operate in freedom in that manner. But really, at the end of the day, it's really up to God, and it's not us that has to carry that burden to bring them into that freedom. We can give them the word, but really, it's God that does the work. And, you know, in Ezekiel 3, God actually tells us that it is Him that does the work. There's actually a few instances where God directly, or He doesn't directly say, but it shows through the writing that it is Him that will turn the exiles to repentance. It is Him that will do the work. In verse 12, it says, "Then the Spirit lifted me up." Okay. In verse 14, "So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away." In verse 24, "The Spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet," or lifted me up. Okay. To go to, we go to chapter 2, verse 2. "As He spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet." So through these passages, you see this theme of the Spirit, meaning the Spirit of God entering. So He's the one, in Ezekiel's context, He's the one coming in and lifting him up. He's the one filling Ezekiel and enabling him to carry out this task. Right? So, you know, it is God that enables us. It is God that gives us the strength to continue to, you know, to persevere in speaking to our friends, in speaking to our families. So, So I would encourage you today to, if there's anything that we can take from this, is that, you know, our job isn't to see fruits from our ministry, but it's to just be faithful to the call that God has given to us. And as Sam comes up for worship, now, as we pray today, really ask, one, what is the task that God has given to me? He might not give it to you in a vision like Ezekiel, but he has given you a task. He has given you something to pray for, or someone to pray for, or someone to speak to. And so ask him, am I doing the thing that he's calling me to do? So that's one. And two, in that task, have we placed a lot of pressure on ourselves to see results, to see fruit? Because being successful in the task that God has given us isn't to see fruit. Being successful is just more so being obedient. We don't have to worry about, are we turning people to repentance? Are people coming to Christ? But are we just letting them know, right? Pastor Rob was, when he was here, and he was teaching on, giving prophetic words, right? And the thing isn't to like, I got to give them a word, right? Because that really isn't the point. The point is, am I speaking, like, God, what do you want to say? Right? And in the same way, you really ask, like, God, what is it that you want to say? I just have to convey the words of love that you want to say, and it's not to make sure that the people feel better or whatever it is. And in that task, know that God is with you. You don't have to, that he is the one that will do it. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you that strength, that power to, whether it is to endure, where some people might laugh at you or ridicule you, like, I can't believe you're speaking this junk to me. That's okay. Because he has filled you with his Spirit to do this. So as we pray and as we worship today, let's let's just ask him what it is that he has, the task that he has set us to, and in that task, just to remind us that it's not about getting results, but that we're just to faithfully carry out the task he has given to us. Now a home, Let's pray for those in our community that are suffering from cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's hand of healing over them. Let's also pray for those in our community who have friends and family who are sick, but also need, or also have yet to be saved. And let's pray for our friends that they continue to, that God continues to fill them with strength to carry out the task that has been bestowed unto them. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for, again, God's healing hand, and for our friends just to continue to endure and to continue to persevere in praying for their recovery. Pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God to open doors for them and just for them to constantly rely on God, even if there are lots of opportunities that they just look to God and not to the open doors as the sign from God. Turning to our Wednesday morning prayer focus, let's pray for Singapore, SPSG, and PSAM Kim as he leads that congregation, as well as Indonesia, not just for SPIN and P. Salman, and for his ministry, but also for the country of Indonesia. There's currently a lot of turmoil going on with the Christians and the Muslims there, and just pray for God's covering over our fellow brothers and sisters in that country, and for their safety, but also for God's word to be released in that nation. Let's pray for the Prayer and Healing Ministries, IP, Well, and the River. Let's pray for His anointing and God's protection over these ministries and the servants that are in these ministries. Pray for the education ministries, Noah's Ark, led by Pastor Mary and Yiling, the youth, Pastor Nate, and the college, Pastor Ricky and myself. Let's pray for anointing and for these young people, young adults, teens, as they encounter God, and that they will encounter them at a young age and know Him to be real. Let's pray for the Thursday outreaches we have, the SP Lights, as well as Homie Outreach. Let's pray for the house churches tonight for Elements and Olympic. And lastly, let's pray for the retreat that's coming up very soon. Let's pray for all our members that are going. Let's pray for the venue. Let's pray for logistics. Pray for Mon and Ash as they organize so many things. Let's pray for God's hand to be through all of this. And just for His covering and great anticipation to rise up within our members. Father, we thank You for today, God, and this time, this morning, Lord. I just pray, God, for all of us here, myself included, that You stir us up, Lord, that You fill us with Your Spirit, God, in being faithful, Lord, to the things that You have set in our lives, God. And I pray, Lord, that in the times where we feel weak, Lord, we feel that a little discouraged, Lord, that we just cling to Your truth, that You are with us. And that You are the one doing the work. And that You are moving mightily, not just in our lives, but in the lives of everyone around us. So Lord, I thank You, God. I just pray for all my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that as they go off to their days, Lord, that You bless them, God. That Your favor shines upon them, Lord. And that You constantly cover them, Father. We thank You. We love You. In Your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming to EMP, and pray that, or hope that you guys have a good prayer time.